Some years ago now, and it was some years ago, Suzanne and I went into our first pastorate. I say some years because it was 30 years ago, would you believe? Now, don't dare say Suzanne doesn't look old enough, because let me assure you, she is. I won't say it, but she's in her 50s now. I graduated from Bible College, and an opportunity to go into a first pastorate. It was a training opportunity, really, opened up for me to gain experience. It was an opportunity to work for the Methodist Church in Whitchurch. But it was a position without pay. There was a bungalow, there was somewhere for us to live, but no wage. But we knew it was right to go, firstly because it was a good experience for us as a young married couple who were, you know, seeking the Lord about future ministry. And so from that perspective, it was right. But another perspective, it was a gospel opportunity as well. We were used of the Lord to preach in two churches or pastor two churches, but we led prayer meetings and Bible studies. We had 16 chapels in our circuit, and I preached in all of them on a regular basis. But we had a tremendous youth and children's ministry there. We had three Christian unions that we took in senior schools every single week. And so, as well, as I said, a learning experience. It was tremendous gospel work, but no money. It was living by faith in the rawest sense of the word. But God provided in amazing ways, in miraculous ways. Whether that was because it was a parcel of food when we got back from one of those Christian unions, whether it was the coal bunker was full of coal or wood when we came back on from a Bible study one night, whether that was an envelope of money through the door. Someone even thought I needed help with my preaching, so they sent me some commentaries. No, I don't know what they were saying there. All different ways in which the Lord provided for us, even someone paying for the repair of our car that we used, that we were given to use. But one of the things that I did find really, really difficult, it was one thing believing the Lord for our provision, but when others came to stay, and others did, we lived in a beautiful part of Cheshire, and we actually had people stay with us every, probably at least twice a month on many occasions, sometimes every other week. And it was one thing believing the Lord for us. It was another thing to believe the Lord for warmth and for food for those who were visiting. But what we had, we used. And you know what? Looking back on those occasions, they were some of the times of greatest need, but some of the times when God provided the greatest as well. So much so that not only did we have enough to feed them, but time and time again, we had enough food afterwards to continue going for weeks afterwards. And we learned an important lesson there. And the lesson was simply this, that when you use what you have to minister to others, God will always, always abundantly bless and always provide. That lesson is what Jesus taught these disciples right here. They didn't have much, but they were willing to use what they did have for God, and God multiplied it and blessed them. And folks, this is exactly what we see this morning, that God does great things for his people when they're willing to obey him, when they're willing to use whatever they have to minister to others for him. The believer who uses their home for the glory of God, let me tell you, will be blessed by God. The believer who uses their money for the glory of God, they will be blessed by God. For the believer who uses their food for the glory of God, they will be blessed by God. God will prosper and bless those who use what they have to minister to others. Dr. Luke draws this out for us this morning as we look at several things within this narrative. The first thing you notice that Luke presents the circumstances that God was going to do this great thing. Do you know, if we were trying to orchestrate these circumstances, we would have done it in very different ways. Let me tell you, if it was me doing this, it wouldn't have been 5,000. It would have just been about 10 of us, you know. I would have made it more comfortable for myself. More maybe in a way that if it didn't work out, well, at least it wasn't that bad. But there are certain things that God arranged and God orchestrated that only God could do. Three things to notice very quickly there in verse 10. You notice that the apostles returned. They reported to Jesus all that they had done. On another occasion, it says that they were rejoicing as well, hence the title for the sermon this morning. The apostles returned and rejoiced, and they were rejoicing because God used them in incredible ways. This has been the first attempt of these disciples to do any form of public ministry. And the stress of the public ministry was on them. Prior to that, it was all on Jesus. They were just watching and following and listening. But as Jesus commissioned these apostles, as he sent them out, the pressure was on them. But God had given them special abilities, special apostolic authority over demons, over diseases. The average believer did not have this same power, but these 12 were given it. Undoubtedly, it must have been an exciting time, but it was also an exhausting time for them. We noticed last week when we were there together that their efforts included preaching. Now, Simon will tell you more than I, brother, when you preach, you're exhausted, aren't you? You can't do anything for the rest of the day. Yeah, for at least a week. He certainly can't do the dishes, Joe, can he? You know, but it does. Ministering to others, giving out, it does exhaust the preacher. They were preaching, but also they had the responsibility of people coming to them with specific needs and casting out demons and healing the sick, and they were going from village to village. They were not sure what would happen when they went to a particular village. Would they be received? Would they have to kick the dust off their feet? Would there be provision for them as they went? So they were under tremendous stress, and you could imagine it was an exciting time, but it was also exhausting for them. These disciples had been actively and intimately involved in the lives of people, and they returned to the Lord Jesus Christ and they reported back to him all that God had done. You know, even though they'd been actively and obediently serving God, Christ was about to teach them something different in this lesson. Something that would make them stop and consider how they, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be willing to minister to others even when they are tired. Because they needed a break. That's another thing you see there in verse 10. And the latter part, it says, when they took them, then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. They needed that. That withdrawal is one of Christ recognizes that his disciples who'd given out so much, they needed to separate themselves and just be ministered to, just to relax. Christ knew that his apostles needed this break. In fact, Mark goes it to the next level in his indication, and he says that they just needed to rest. You know, sometimes disciples, sometimes followers of God who are on the front line of proclaiming truth, they do need that. And I'm preaching to myself here. Dr. William Hendrickson, in his commentary, he said that a minister who never takes a break or never backs away from the heavy load of ministry will never make it. And you know what? He's dead right. You know what they'll do? They'll either burn out or they'll have a heart attack. I speak from experience. Chuck Swindoll, on another occasion, he said this. He said, if you take a good bow and you leave the tension on it all the time, you never let up, you will ruin that bow. If you've got it and you keep it going, you release it and it's just lost its tension. His point was there are times when a minister, when servants of God need to break away from the pressure or they will be ruined. And these disciples, these apostles needed a break. And so the Lord gave them one. He took them away privately. Do you know, there's nothing unspiritual about getting away for a while from the pressures of ministry. It's biblically and it's sound. I'm actually looking forward to these next 3 days. Because I've been ministered to, as Ben will be ministered to as well, as our girls will be. And there's about 1,000 Christian leaders from all the way around the country who'll be gathering in Blackpool, sunny Blackpool. That'd be lovely. It used to be Torquay, but now they've moved up north. And it'll be lovely to be ministered to and to relax and to be under God's ministry. It's biblical and we all need those times. But if you're willing to use what you have for the work of God, you will discover that a little becomes much. Whilst the apostles needed that break, look what it says in verse 11. But the crowds learned about it and they followed him. Bethsaida was located in the northeast tip of the southeast of Galilee. The northeast of Galilee. Matthew, Mark, and John said that the disciples were in a boat and the crowd was following them. They were watching them as they went along the Galilee so that they could almost get to that point where they were going as they got there themselves. So by the time they were nearing the shore, there was a gathering of some 5,000 people. Or 5,000 men, it records for us. So even though these disciples needed a break, the crowd needed ministering too. You know, this circumstance sets the stage for one of the greatest miracles in the entire New Testament. Notice also in verse 11, it goes on to say there, Luke now describes how Jesus Christ reacts to the crowd. But the crowds learned about it and followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of... He didn't turn around and say, oh, not you lot. Do you know what? I could really do without you lot not being here. No, Jesus didn't do that. He says he welcomed them. Do you know, this is tough to do when you're exhausted. But Jesus did not reject those who came to him. So it's an important teaching point for us this morning. It's simply this, that Christ will never, ever, ever reject you if you come to him. His door is always, always open. Just to say, just that Greek word welcome, it carries with the an idea of a joyful reception as well. It wasn't a, oh, come on in, yeah. It was an open arm welcome. Jesus Christ was positive towards this crowd. He made them feel important. You know, there are two ways that we can relate to people. You know, we can make them feel welcome or we can make them feel unwelcome. We can make them feel wanted or we can make them feel very, very unwanted. Years ago, I traveled with a missionary group and we took services around the country. And after the service, we'd often be invited to go back to people's homes and you could immediately sense whether they wanted you there or not, immediately. On another occasion, a particular group of us, there was about 22 of us, actually left and we went over to Stranorla in County Donegal. And we were there for a 12-day mission. And the church had invited us there. It was a massive Presbyterian church over in Stranorla. And when we got there, the church was absolutely full. We got there a day early, which was unusual for us. So we were not taking part in this service, and the church was full. There must have been, I don't know, anything up to 600-700 people in the church. It was a special day. The minister said, the team are with us for 12 days. It's lovely that they're with us, and please stay behind to welcome them. By the time the minister had done the benediction, we turned around and 600 people have left. They really, really wish that we were there, honestly. Jesus welcomed these folks with open arms. But as well as welcoming them, it goes on to say there in that second part of 11, he actually taught them as well. He welcomed them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Jesus took and always took advantage of any public situation to teach and preach. That was his primary job. Well, actually it wasn't. It was his secondary job. His primary job was to die on the cross for us. But his secondary job was to preach the kingdom of God. A mandatory prerequisite of a Christ-like ministry is to proclaim the truth. People need to hear the word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was our example. He always preached truth. He was teaching about the kingdom of God, and certainly one of the things he communicated to these people was that they needed to have a righteousness in order to enter into the kingdom of God. He would have told them that their righteousness was not good enough. As we've seen before on other occasions, many of the Jews in Jesus' day thought that by right they could enter into the kingdom of God because they were sons and daughters of Abraham. So surely by right they came from good pedigree, a good family. Just looking at the Malian family, that's a good family over there. But no. No, Jesus said, you know, you need a righteousness. A righteousness that even excels that of the Pharisees. Oh, do you see, they were dead good from a human perspective. But from God's perspective, none of them were righteous. And they need the righteousness that was only given to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. He welcomed them, he taught them, but look what else he did as well. He healed them. Jesus Christ, in healing so many people, was proving to the thousands that gathered that he was the God, man, Savior, Messiah, and King. By meeting them at the point of their need, he was not only ministering to them, he was demonstrating to them who he is. He is, only God could do these things. There was no disease that he cannot cure. No person who came to him did he turn away. And again, can I emphasize this to us this morning? No person today who comes to him will ever, ever be turned away by him. Never. Thirdly, notice there that Luke describes how the apostles reacted to the crowd. Verse 12, it says this, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowds away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and the countryside to find food and lodgings because, you know, it's a remote place here. There's no restaurant here. There's no McDonald's anywhere, Lord. So please send them somewhere else so that they can get food. There was no place for them to eat, no place for them to sleep. And there was also no money, no provision for them, nowhere that the disciples could go and get the food to bring it back. Another particular passage in John, it records for us that when they gathered all the monies together, they had 200 denarii, which one denarii was a day's work for a man. So that was 200 days' work. So it was no small amount of money that they sort of gathered together to maybe go and buy some food for them. However, it would not have been enough to feed the 5,000 men. You add on to that the women and the children that were there. Upwards of 8,000, 9,000, 10,000. These apostles were so tired. But they seemed to have forgotten who was there with them. They almost seemed to forget as well as what they had been used of God to do just hours before. Remember? They'd been healing people, delivering people from demons. They'd seen and been used in the miraculous. But now presented with this situation, suddenly they felt, Lord, just send them away. They forgot what God had used them in, but also they'd forgotten who was with them. They'd forgotten that Jesus was with them himself. So instead of them saying, Lord, we've been traveling with Jesus who is God, so there's not a problem in this situation. He'll just provide. Instead of saying that, they said, Lord, send them away. They were not thinking, you know, we need to be used of him to meet the needs of this crowd. You know, sometimes you and I can be just like that. We can have such a blinkered, such a narrow view of who God is. We forget that, and this is not just a cliche that we used every now and again. We forget that he's a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in every mine. In other words, he is a God who can bountifully supply our needs. We shouldn't restrict who God is. Fourthly, I haven't been clicking on, have I? Well, it's because I can't. Sorry, boys, I'm clicking on. Is there any reason why I can't click? Oh, there we go. Oh, let's go back. Fourthly, Luke describes that Jesus performs an amazing provision miracle for his apostles, but also for the people who were gathered there. Verses 13, and he replied, "You give them something to eat." And they answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy for all these people, about 5,000 men who were there." But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." Do you know, when we're faced with seemingly insurmountable circumstances, if we will focus on obeying the word of God, we will see God do some amazing things. Do you know, there are 2 phrases that Jesus uses there towards his disciples. First of all, he says there, "You give them something." He commanded his apostles to give them something to eat. This pronoun is an emphatic. In other words, it was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. If you feel like it, boys, you could give them something. No, this was you do it. You deal with this situation. You who has just been so used of me in the miraculous, you meet the needs of the people because I know that you can do that through me. But what the disciples did, what the apostles did is they looked at what they had and they said, "We don't have enough to do that. All we have is a few loaves, a few fish." These apostles missed a couple of points. They missed again that God had miraculously used them. He had the power to do all things through his people. But also that Jesus was traveling with them, who is God. And he can do whatever he wants. If God says, do it, guess what? He gives us the power and the ability to do it and the resources as well. What it requires from us is our availability. You remember what I always say? The best ability we can have is availability. It's not all the money in the world. It's not all the resources in the world. It's not all the gifts in the world. It's not all the whatever in the world that we need in order to minister. No, we just need to be available to be used of him. That comes simply through obedience to his word. What the apostles should have said is, if Jesus is commanding us to do it, then do you know what? We'll get up and do it. If God calls on God to an assignment, then God will enable us as well. Never ever fall into the trap of making excuses as to why you cannot do something. If only everybody knew what is about me. If anybody knew, if they knew my history, if they knew my past, if they knew the restrictions that are upon me, if they knew, they would know that I can't do these things. Don't allow your past or your present to prevent you from doing something that God is calling you to do. Because of their maybe their unwillingness or their lack of faith in providing for them, Jesus commanded the apostles to set the people into rows. Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each, Jesus said. So the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. A simple thing may seem insignificant, but it's an important thing as well. God does everything in order. You know, he made them sit down in these groups of 50 or so, which would mean there was probably, you know, somewhere in the region, I don't know, about 100 to 200 rows of people or groups of people sitting in these 50s, and it was ordered. God doesn't do anything that's disordered. If there is something significant to see here about the environment in which he will work, he expects that his people will feed, and he expects that there will be order and there will be organization when he commands them to do it. You know, the church that takes seriously the word of God will see God do something wonderful things, not just physically, but spiritually. When we're prepared to feed God's people, when we're prepared to expound the word of God and break it open so that people can feed on the bread of life, we will see God doing amazing things. Churches that are unorganized and unstructured and don't feed people the bread of life, they miss out on seeing God do some amazing things. And so these apostles organized the people and he made them sit down. And they took what they had, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Doesn't look much, does it, at all? But Christ used what was there, and he multiplied it, and he done great things. Our lives may not look much. Homegate Evangelical Church, on the face of it, may not look much. We may look small, we may look insignificant, we may look meaningless. But if we turn what we have over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can do amazing things with us and through us and for us, all for his glory. Folks, do we believe this morning? Or are we like the disciples, just simply looking at the circumstances that they found themselves in? 2 loaves, a couple of fish, Lord, what are we going to do with that? Or are we looking to the God who can do all things? Notice there in verse 16, it says simply this: taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and he broke it. Christ is personally demonstrating that the power and the strength to change something meager into something powerful comes from heaven. That's what he's doing when he's looking up. This kind of power does not come from the world. This comes from God. This is a supernatural divine power. But notice what else he does there as he looks up. He blesses. He gives thanks to God for what he does have. Never ever despise the day of small things. Never despise of stuff that you have, thinking that it's insignificant, it's meager, and how could God use that? God could use anything. All you need to do is be available, but also to be thankful for what you do have. If we are not thankful for what God has given us, he won't likely give us more. And so before Christ fed the people, he prayed, he blessed God, and then he broke what he had. Christ divided up, and they had enough. He met the needs of every person individually. And I know I do repeat myself an awful lot. And I've told you time and time again that I do it so many occasions purposely so that we can get to hear and know Christ is able to meet you at the point of your need individually as we come to him. According to verse 17, not only did the people eat until they were full and satisfied, but also they had 12 baskets left over. Do you know, as I said to you in my opening illustration, the times in which we didn't have enough to feed ourselves, but we used what we had to feed those that the Lord brought to us, were the times when we had bountiful provision, but also we so often had 12 baskets left over. When a believer desires to feed God's people, you will never, ever run out. When we are available and thankful to God for what we have and we give it to him for his glory, we will never, ever run out. God is no man or woman's debtor. He always, always provides. Praise God for Dr. Luke and for the things that he was used of God to help us to understand. Just as we close, just some practical things just to consider there as we close this morning. Simply this, that when we are tired, we may have a tendency to forget all we have seen God do. Folks, I mean this, there's a dual application to seeing all that God's do, all that God has done in his word, but remember all that God has done for you. He saved you. He's redeemed you. He's bought you with his own blood. He's made you a part of his family. He's given you a destiny, the hope of glory that is in your heart. So much we have. When we're tired, I think we forget all that we have in Christ Jesus. And we look at our circumstances. When we're tired, we may neglect to take advantage of ministry opportunities. Oh, do you know what? I could really do without it today. I confess before you, I didn't make the men's breakfast yesterday because I was just too tired. But I also know that I wasn't ministering, but I was today. And despite Simon saying to me, I'll preach tomorrow, I said, no, I'm never too tired to minister and take the opportunity that God has given us. When we're tired, we may neglect to take advantage of the ministry opportunities, never, ever. Just simply trust the Lord. Jesus Christ has the power to meet every single need, every single time. For Jesus Christ is not limited to any of our circumstances. Never put God in a box and tell him he can only do what we want him to do. When we obey the word of God, we will see God do some incredible things. No one will ever end up disappointed if they personally go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He never turns anybody away, but he always, always meets us at the point of our need. Folks, this is our God. This is the God we worship. This is the God who surrendered everything so that we might have life. Are we thankful this morning? Are we grateful for all that we have in him? Praise God. Praise God for that love, that divine, that love incarnate that has come down from heaven so that he would dwell with us, so that we will never, ever, ever be alone. Folks, if this is not your experience this morning, please don't go away from this place without having a word with one of the elders or with one of the pastors. We'd love to help you. We'd love to pray with you so that you can know that Christ can be real to you even this very day. Amen.